It's time for your favorite episode of the week and mine, Twitter Tuesday, here on Locked On Vols. Segments 1 and 2, I'll answer your questions when you take over the show. And to cap off a Tuesday show, I want to have the conversation about opting out in these quote-unquote meaningless bowl games. We've seen a lot of players do it. We saw a player for Tennessee do it. What's your thoughts on players opting out of bowl games here in 2021, now 2022? That's the rundown here for a Tuesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Sonos, where you can experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, and music, gaming, and a whole lot more. Visit Sonos.com to learn even more. Like I said in the cold open, today's episode, it is Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making it your first listen every single day. I'm your host, Eric Kane. You can contact me all the time, not just on Tuesdays, at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. This podcast available 5 days a week on every single platform, completely free. And I appreciate you guys for making it your first listen every single day. So let's go ahead and dive into it. This is Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. We'll start with James, and James sent a lot of good information here. Here's the question. Do you expect Heupel to get UT to a New Year's Six Bowl game in year three and win at least a share of the East next year? The last coach to win a national championship who didn't reach a New Year's Six game in their first three seasons at Tennessee or at their school was Bobby Bowden, 99. FSU was an independent in the 70s, so no automatic bid situation there. Furthermore, the only coach to win a national championship in the same period who didn't win at least a share of their conference divisional title in year two was Coach O. My point is that as fun as this year was, without a huge step forwards in the next 2 years, recent history suggests Heupel will be a failure. Furthermore, the last coach who had a losing team in the national championship game who didn't meet the above criteria was also Bowden when he lost to Oklahoma, Frank Beamer, the year prior. Good stuff there, James. It's very, very interesting notes there. As far as Tennessee in terms of a New Year's Six bowl game in the next 2 years, I mean, I would think so, right? I mean, you had Kentucky that finished the regular season with 9 wins this year, finished second in the East behind Georgia. Now, Florida was down. Tennessee was still rebuilding. You had South Carolina that's rebuilding. I don't ever think South Carolina is going to be a true player, but you had South Carolina that was rebuilding. Vanderbilt was awful. Missouri was awful. So that was kind of the criteria there. I think it was much easier for Kentucky, obviously, playing in the East than playing in the SEC West, when it's just kind of a crapshoot there with a bunch of, pretty decent ball clubs with good quarterbacks and good coaches, for the most part. So to be a New Year's Six bowl game in year three, can Tennessee get to the Citrus Bowl in year three? I'd like to think so. I mean, you're talking about potentially just 9 wins in the regular season, potentially now. And I think that's very obtainable by year three. As far as winning at least a share of the East next year, I mean, I don't expect Georgia to go too far. I think Florida, it's going to be down this first year, in my opinion, but it's going to be coming because, again, it's Florida. You can get any player you want to typically to go to Florida when you're kind of in that region of the United States. Plus, Napier has, filled his staff with some good recruiters, and I think they're going to be back. But I don't think that they're going to be back next year. Can Kentucky continue to take a step? You got Will Levis coming back, but you lose quite a few pieces on that offense. That defense should be steady as always. I don't see South Carolina taking that big of a step. I don't see Missouri being back. Don't see Vanderbilt being back. So the question is Tennessee. Can Tennessee win one or two of the big three next year to finish at a tie with the East and ultimately probably lose that head-to-head to Georgia, but still kind of be up there in terms of relevancy in the SEC East? I don't know. You like to think that it would take a step, maybe finish second. But as far as being a tie for second in the East next year or tie for first in the East next year, I'd probably have to say no right now. There's still a lot of deficiencies on this roster, not necessarily from a talent perspective, but as you saw in the Music City Bowl and as you've seen at points in time this year, there certainly is. But just in terms of roster numbers, still low on linebackers, still low on guys in the secondary. You're having to replenish your defensive line now because you're losing three quality contributors. You get my point here. So we'll talk about this as more as the offseason goes on. But New Year's Six Bowl in year three, I would say yes. A share of the SEC East title next year, I'm not ready to go that far. But James, really good notes there. I appreciate you chiming in. We will go to Tony. What are your thoughts on Jared Verse? Is he going to be a Vol or not? Well, of course, Jared Verse is the most sought after, you know, pass rusher that's in the transfer portal right now, coming from Albany, looking to transfer up. He had a fantastic season this year. The last update we got on Jared Verse, he was down to three: Tennessee, FSU, and LSU. He still has one visit he can take in the month of January when the dead period is over. I believe that's January the 14th. Don't know if he's going to use that visit to go to either LSU or FSU. I think he already went to FSU, so I don't think he's going to use that visit. We don't know if he's going to use that visit to go to LSU or not. He might not even take that visit. But those are the last three that we've heard. Tennessee feels like they're in a great chance, you know, that they have as good a shot as anybody there with Jared Verse. But I don't believe he's made up his mind yet at the time of this recording. But that would be the biggest gift for Tennessee in the transfer portal for sure. We'll move down to Eric. Twitter Tuesday question for you. What are the chances that either William Parker or RJ Perry end up at right tackle position next year? Both of those guys definitely pass the eye test. Well, yeah, you're talking about guys who, see, William Parker was a true freshman this year. RJ Perry now is in going on year three, technically, in the program, right? Because Jeremy Pruitt brought him in the class of 2020. So, eye test, yes. Developmental parts of that, you know, transforming their bodies, all that type of stuff, sure, they're getting along. Those two guys are more guards, in my opinion. I know for a fact that William Parker Griffin has repped a tackle at some, but I think both of those guys have been repping a little bit of both, but more so at guard. As far as the tackle conversation we've been hearing of so far, and I know that, you know, with Dane Davis in there, he did some good things, but, you know, right tackle was an issue with him and Jeremiah Crawford during the Music City Bowl for a lot of time against Purdue. But the conversation has been Dane Davis, Jeremiah Crawford, and then you have Gerald Mincy, who is the transfer from Florida. Those are the three names you continue to be hearing about who could fill in there at right tackle next year. I think the staff really likes Jeremiah Crawford. Obviously, they brought him in the February signing period last year. Technically, it was the first recruit brought in for Josh Heupel as head coach, a part of the junior college ranks. And so I think they like Jeremiah Crawford, just getting him. He got here so late, just getting him developed and all that. So those are the three names I think to watch out for at right tackle right now. Gerald Mincy, the transfer from Florida, who was not a starter there. You've got Dane Davis, who has the most experience playing, and he started a couple games for Tennessee this year. And then you've got Jeremiah Crawford, J.J. Crawford is what they call him as well. So I would look out for those guys right now. We'll get one more here in segment one. We'll go to Randy. It seems to me the parts of Hendon Hooker's games that could improve the most is one, rolling to his left to throw, two, better decisions in downfield running, meaning less spins, finding better open running spaces, all that type of stuff. What say you? Well, I'm not a quarterback. You guys know this. So it's kind of hard for me to sit here and nitpick quarterbacks because a lot of times I don't know what I'm talking about because, again, I didn't play quarterback. It's easy to say, well, hit the open man. Your down the field passing is not good. Hendon Hooker's down the field passing in the Music City Bowl was awful. I think he was like 2 of 13 on passes 20 yards down the field or more, which was just not great. And he's not been that way all season long. He's hit down the field passing this year. We've seen it. But he was not great in the Music City Bowl, right? The biggest thing that you brought up right there and that I completely agree with, he is such an erratic runner. He is such a I don't know if he said this. I want to say that Alex Golish said this in some media appearance at one point. He's a reckless runner. He needs to take care of himself running the football an awful lot. He kind of has those inflatable arm syndrome. He's very lanky. He's kind of all over the place. Don't want him to stop running because it's been a big part of Tennessee's offense for sure. And as Golish has also pointed out, he's bailed Tennessee out a number of times in running the football. I would say knowing when to run, knowing when to get down, knowing when to not take those hits, and maybe getting to the sideline more, that would be a big part for me as well. But as far as rolling out one way and throwing, I mean, sure, I see it too, but like I don't know how you fix that. Maybe get your feet set more. Overall, I mean, he had a good year. He's got good decision-making. He was very efficient. He didn't turn the football over. So there's not a whole lot here that I can nitpick just from the, you know, in terms of not being a quarterback. But I will say his erratic running, it is reckless at times, and it's kind of surprising he hasn't gotten hurt a lot more just simply because of all the hits that he's been taking. So good question there, Randy, and we will get to more questions when we come back here in segment number two of a Twitter Tuesday show. But this is Eric Kane here on Locked On Vols, and I've got an incredible app everyone that buys gas needs to know about, okay? It's GetUpside. My listeners right now are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code SCORE, and you can get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using the GetUpside app. Just download the app for free and use the promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out at any time in your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE for the GetUpside app. And BetOnline. It's got you covered this holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this year. Head to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, so don't wait to take advantage of all these new amazing offers available. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. Time to continue on with our Twitter Tuesday segments of a Tuesday Locked On Vols. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. I'm your host, Derek Kane. I do radio here in Knoxville at 99.1 The Sports Animal. Also work for the rival site covering Tennessee. That is VolQuest.com. So we'll go ahead and get started back with our Twitter Tuesday questions. Every Tuesday, it's when you take over the show for Twitter Tuesdays. We'll go back to Andrew. Andrew wants to know, how bad of shape is the secondary in next year? It really showed that the top 3 to 4 corners were out last week. Also, after watching the basketballs last week, I feel like they are a top 2 team in the SEC. What say you? I'll start with basketball. I don't know if they're top 2 right now. I think that there's still some deficiencies there. But, I mean, gosh, when you have your 2 best players essentially not playing and you go toe-to-toe with a team like Alabama, and in my opinion, and guys, I'm so sorry, you can still see my voice is still getting back to normal. By the way, it was firm this morning on the radio. If you guys heard me Monday morning on the radio, my voice is fine. It's kind of tailored, or not tailored, kind of tampered off as the day's gone on. I apologize. I didn't do an episode last Thursday of Locked On Vols after that Alabama game. And boy, did I have some things to say about how Rick Barnes mismanaged that rotation down the stretch. Rick Barnes has forgotten more basketball than I will ever know. You guys know me. I'm a football guy. I watch basketball. I study it. It's my job. It's entertaining. I like it. But I'm a football guy. I'm a baseball guy. You know, Rick Barnes, I have so much respect for him. I think he is an excellent coach. I think he's a Hall of Fame coach. I think Tennessee is so much better with Rick Barnes than without Rick Barnes. But my goodness, man, sometimes his decisions late in the ball game are just baffling. I mean, you know, Victor Bailey Jr., like, I don't know why you got so much run there towards the end of that basketball game and Justin Powell did not. I understand he called out defensive deficiencies for Justin Powell, and that's fair. But, you know, when your solution is Victor Bailey Jr., when the same player, I think Justin Powell is 10 times the player Victor Bailey Jr. is right now. That's just my opinion. But nonetheless, I do apologize for kind of not being able to do an immediate reaction episode on that Alabama game because Tennessee fought like hell. So, again, to your point, I think Tennessee's performance has showed that what it is capable of. Top two right now, I don't know, potentially, depending on the week. Tennessee's still kind of in the middle of this gruesome stretch here this week. You had a couple more opponents, you know, this week and next week. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll learn a little bit about them. But that was not a bad debut game in the SEC for Tennessee, especially being down Kennedy Chandler and John Fulkerson. I thought Olivier Cumwa played fantastic that night. I really, really did. So, as far as your actual question about the secondary, yeah, man, I mean, it's tough. I think it goes to show you know, how much Alante Taylor meant for this team. Alante Taylor, do I think he's a great man coverage guy? No, I don't. I've seen him play, in fact, 3 seasons where just continuously running behind a guy that got behind him. But he's a good player. He's physical. He's long. He's lanky. He's tall. He's great to play on the outside. He's smart. He's good enough to play man. He's better in zone. Obviously opted out. We'll talk more about opt-outs in segment number 3, trying to get healthy for the Senior Bowl. But you also didn't have Brandon Turnage, who's played a little corner. That's his natural position. Played some star here for Tennessee. He did not play. He was getting a knee procedure to clean up. Nothing major, just something a little minor. He was out for that Music City Bowl. But you had Warren Burrell, who has struggled so much down the stretch. It wasn't like this all year long. Warren Burrell, for the first 7-8 games of the season, was not as bad as he's been for the last 4 or 5. But boy, it was bad Thursday night. Deshaun Rucker came in there. Boy, that was bad for the true freshman. Thought Kamal Haddon played fine, but he just kept, it looked like he kept popping his shoulder in and out a little bit. I think that might have been the issue there, but he was in and out of the lineup. So yeah, I mean, I think it showed Tennessee needs help in the secondary. I think Tennessee's safeties continue to show that they are slow. They continue to let guys get behind them. They play too soft in coverages. They're slow over the top to help out with some corners. A lot of those times, whenever, you know, a cornerback was getting beat, you weren't getting help over the top from the safety. And, you know, that's a Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers issue. So can Christian Charles step up and solidify one of those spots next year? You know, the thing about Willie Martinez, too, is he doesn't trust young guys. He only plays veterans. And I think that showed this year. Now, granted, Christian Charles, they were limited back there. I think Christian Charles would have played a whole lot more if he was healthy this season. But he missed pretty much, you know what, 2/3 of the season. But to Mary McDonald, I think it's evident that this staff does not like his skill set right now. As far as cornerbacks, you saw more Kamal Haddon. But, you know, that's really about it. At cornerback that came in for Alante Taylor, Warren Burrell. Kenneth George Jr. played a little bit, but he was hurt as well. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee's bringing in Christian Harrison and D. Williams from, Desmond Williams from the JUCO ranks. I think Desmond Williams, they hope that he can be a player and help them immediately because he's an older guy. At safety, you're bringing in Jordan Thomas. So you're not bringing in a whole lot of reinforcements. That's why you were going after so many junior college transfers and Marquise Gilbert and Keontae Scott. But you missed out on those guys. Auburn got those guys. So, yeah, the secondary, it's not great entering 2022. I'm not going to lie to you. Can things happen? Can Tennessee maybe get a few more from the transfer portal? Potentially. I mean, Tennessee added a ton after spring practice last year. We'll have to see. But to answer your question, yeah, I'm not feeling too confident about the secondary going into 2022, even though you're bringing back a lot of veterans. Warren Burrell will be a senior. Trayvon Flowers, if he decides to come back, he'll be a fifth-year senior. You've got Jalen McCullough, who will be a 4-year starter. It's just you got to get better play out of those guys. You really, really do. We will go to Kurt. Kurt wants to know, if you're Tennessee, would you ever accept another Music City Bowl bid after the UNC and Purdue fiascos? Yeah, kind of weird ending to those ball games, not going to lie to you. Just really strange endings to those football games. But as far as accepting a bowl invitation, Tennessee will always accept it because if you get slotted to the Music City Bowl, unless strange circumstances arise, it's not like you can say, no, I don't want to go to Music City Bowl. I'm going to go to the Gator Bowl or I'm going to go to the Outback Bowl because those spots are already been sending out invitations and have already been accepted. So, you know, the SEC, you know, has a, excuse me, the SEC plays a hand in that as well. I know the Music City Bowl wants to have Tennessee back every single year. I mean, it was a home game. It was an attendance record. 69,489, I believe, was the announced attendance. So, of course, the Music City Bowl wants Tennessee every year. But for Tennessee, it's like you've been there 3 times, 2 of which have been ending in just, you know, really, really crappy situations. Just kind of is what it is. But Tennessee would never turn down a bowl because the other bowls will be taken, in my opinion. And I feel like that's kind of how it works. But, no, I wouldn't want to go back there for sure because of strange situations. We got one more. This is from Alex. Looking forward to this one. And I've given it some thoughts. I don't know if I can rank them, but I have given it some thoughts. Alex's question is, who are your top 5 must-follow Twitter accounts for Vol fans? He said, yes, I'm asking you to go up against your colleagues here. So, for me, I work for VolQuest Rivals. I feel like we do the best work. Simply put, I mean, that's, you know, of course, I work for the radio station. I think we do fantastic work there. But in terms of recruiting coverage, breaking news coverage, all that type of stuff, I feel like we at VolQuest do fantastic work. So, if you're not following Brent Hubbs, Austin Price, Rob Lewis, Ben McKee, or myself, I feel like you need to. Now, hashtag company man, I'll step aside. I'm not a guy that if you work for another outlet, I hate you. No, I understand. I see you do quality work. We're doing the same type of work. I might do it differently. I might be better than you. I might be learning from you from afar. That's just kind of how I work, right? So I appreciate other guys, you know, at other outlets because for the most part, we're around these guys all the time, going to press conferences, going on these away games. You're around these guys a lot, and so you don't want to be rude or you don't want to have a weird working dynamic, right? So in that, you know, in that case, I think Wes Rucker, he does columns for 24/7. He likes to for right, wrong, indifferent. I don't think it's him just trying to start anything, but a lot of his opinions kind of get Vol fans going. So from an entertainment aspect and from a quality aspect, I think Wes Rucker's a really, really good follow. He writes a column after every single Tennessee football, basketball, and baseball game. He does a great work over there. Patrick Brown's the football guy over there. He's a good follow. Go to the Knoxville News Sentinel. I think Adam Sparks and Mike Wilson do, you know, quality work. It's also about the type of content you're looking for. They write different content than we at VolQuest Rivals do. Mike Wilson covers football, basketball, and baseball. Again, Adam Sparks, he's primarily the football guy. They do really, really good work. I think Ben McKee, of course, he's another colleague of mine at VolQuest. He is... If you want to follow a baseball guy in this market, he's the guy to follow. And, of course, he does work with football and basketball too. But he does a fantastic job. And, you know, he's often quoted on Twitter because of all the press conferences and everything. So just getting news out there and everything. But the number one follow, in my opinion, this is for football breaking news. This is for football recruiting. It would be Austin Price for me. And, again, I know he's my colleague at VolQuest. But a lot of you guys listening right now, if you want breaking the latest with Tennessee news, Austin Price is the breaking news guy for VolQuest. And he would be the number one follow. So I'm not really going to rank any of these except for Price. I think he would be the number one follow. A Will Warren and Austin Burledge, they do a lot of that tape breakdown. I think that they are, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, do good work. You know, just stuff like that. The More Important Issues podcast, they do a lot of fan interaction on Twitter. So, you know, I've had Landon on this show before. So, you know, give them a follow. There's a lot of great Vol Twitter accounts to follow out there. They're not just, you know, breaking news, recruiting, media, stuff like that. And you guys probably follow a lot of those. So those are some Twitter accounts that I would recommend here on this show. All right, that'll do it for Twitter Tuesday here for this week. Guys, I appreciate it. Each and every Tuesday, whatever you want to know, Vols, hoops, recruiting, football, all that and more, _ Kaner and at Locked On Vols. We'll come back. We'll talk opt-outs in segment three, but this is it. It is the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. And is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of the competition. 93% of the surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite for the new year. NetSuite has a new financing program ready for those to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. Head on over to netsuite.com/locked for the special one-of-a-kind financing offer on your number one financial system for growing businesses. That is netsuite.com/locked. One final segment left here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Actually, Twitter Tuesday is now in the rearview mirror, and I just wanted to spend this last segment just kind of having a conversation. We talked a little bit about it on the radio show Monday morning, but every single bowl season for the last 5 years or so, it's been the ongoing conversation about opt-outs. How do you feel about opt-outs? You know, there was some pretty critical comments made by Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard on the set of College Game Day there. I guess it was Friday morning. About how players just don't love the game of football anymore, and it's a different era and all that. And it, sure, it's a different era, but I don't agree at all with what Kirk Herbstreit said. And he's been taking a lot of crap for it. It is what it is. I know that I've said stuff that I wish I could go back and correct many, many times. A lot of you guys have called me out on it. That's fair. You know, that's fair. It's an open dialogue. But what's your views on opting out of bowl games now if it's not a college football playoff game? We'll start with Alante Taylor because it pertains to us. Alante Taylor was playing hurt the last month of the season. Alante Taylor has a chance to get drafted. He got an invitation to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. It's not just the game. It's the week that you're down there. It's pretty much an open tryout, essentially, for all these NFL executives, head coaches, general managers, scouts. They're all there. So it is five practices or six practices or whatever. There's a couple 2 days in there, I'm sure. And all eyes are on you. And you want to be as healthy as you can possibly be to show out on those practices and, of course, show out in the game. He wants to get healthy for that. I don't blame him at all. You're talking about potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars that you could be throwing away. I'm not going to say million for him because I don't think he's going to get drafted that high, but potentially maybe. if you're not healthy and performing right in that week of preparation. So I have no issue for Lawnte Taylor. He made that decision. He said it was the best decision for him. Go for it. I have no issue with that. Now, Matt Corral decided he was going to play. Matt Corral got hurt, and it looked very, very scary at the time, right? I mean, he was carted off. Seems like he's going to be okay. That's great because he's going to be a first-round quarterback selection in the upcoming NFL draft. Doesn't appear that anything's going to kind of knock his stock, and that is fantastic news because you would hate that. But everyone immediately took Matt Corral, made him the poster child of, this is why you shouldn't play in bowl games. This right here is why. This is why Kenny Pickett didn't play in bowl game. Kenny Pickett was smart. Matt Corral wasn't. No, we're not going to have that conversation. Okay, do not tell a star player that was a bad decision for him to play in a bowl game. If he wants to play in a bowl game, if he wants to finish out what he started with his team, he has every right to go and do that. It is the player's individual choice, in my opinion. Kenny Pickett decided he didn't want to do that. That's fine. We're talking millions of dollars for him. We're talking millions of dollars for Matt Corral as well. But he decided he wanted to go and play. That's fine. The way I look at it, you may look at it differently, and that's okay. There's no right or wrong answer here, except my answer. No, I'm just kidding. It's up to the player and what he believes is best for himself, for his family, and for his future. Because at the end of the day, I had a conversation with a listener here on Locked On Vols last week. The bowl games do matter. You could tell by the way the players felt and they looked like and they talked, and you could tell some of them were crying. It matters for them, right? The way you lost the other night, it matters. It's over. It's been a fun year. It matters. But in the grand scheme of things, when you're thinking 10 years down the line, this loss in the Music City Bowl won't take anything away from this season. A win in the Music City Bowl, in my opinion, wouldn't have made the difference in what this season was. This season for Tennessee was a complete 180, a complete rebuild. You broke school records for most points in a season, most offense in a season. You got 7 regular season wins after 30 players left via the transfer portal. All your best players from a 3-7 team the year before left. Head coach gets fired, recruiting violations, all that type of stuff. I mean, what I'm going to remember about this season is just the bounce back and the complete, like I said, 180 that Josh Heupel brought to this program. Sure, it would have been sweet to have that Music City Bowl victory. The way it lost, yeah, it sucks. But that doesn't take anything away from me. But the point is, I mean, if you're out there playing, especially in what it could be your last game for your university, it means something to you. It meant something to Matt Corral. So that's how I view the old opt-out situation. You go back about 5 seasons. I think it was Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette. McCaffrey at Stanford, Fournette at LSU. They were the first ones that kind of decided, hey, we're not going to play in this Goodyear Bowl, or we're not going to play in this Birmingham Bowl or this Holiday Bowl or whatever the bowl was that those two teams were going to play for. It's essentially meaningless. It's not a New Year's Six Bowl games, and people opt out of New Year's Six Bowl games too. Pretty much any bowl game that's not the college football playoff right now in terms of for you and your future, you have a whole lot more to risk than you have to reward, in my opinion, especially if you're to the likes of Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette at the time, and of course, Matt Corral and Kenny Pickett right now. So ever since that class started doing it, it's become a thing. And at the time, I mean, I was fresh into, you know, radio. I was just a couple years out of, college football. I'm like, yo, how could you ever do that? I just couldn't imagine ever, you know, quitting on my team like that. I said that on record, said that on the radio. I just couldn't imagine myself doing that. Now, I wouldn't raise that way, yada, yada, yada. I mean, just like all of us, I think I've evolved. I think I've grown. I think I've gotten older. I think I've matured a little bit. And if that's still your reasoning, that's fine. But for me, I said, okay, well, let's sit back and let's look at the big picture here, you know, because of the money that's on the line for your family and all that type of stuff. So I've evolved in that aspect. And so that's how I view it. You know, I've seen so much talk about Matt Corral over the weekend, why he shouldn't have played in that bowl game, why that was a great decision to play in that bowl game, everybody giving victory laps, celebrating him, the other half saying, oh, he's just so stupid for playing in this bowl game. You're lucky it wasn't a super serious injury. He wanted to play in the bowl game. He played in the bowl game. He got hurt. It's football. Thank God it's not any worse. Really. Thank God it's not any worse. But don't criticize Matt Corral for a decision to play in a football game. Don't criticize Kenny Pickett for not playing in a football game. Don't criticize Lawnte Taylor for not playing in a football game. It's just kind of the way it is. Now, Cade Mays, if healthy, he would have played in the bowl game, but he just simply wasn't healthy enough. So that's my viewpoint on the whole opt-out situations. It's not going anywhere. if they expand the college football playoffs, it'll still be here for the eight teams, or for that 9, 10, 11 team that didn't make the field of eight, or that 13, 14, 15 team that didn't make the field of 12. It'll still be it. You'll still see star players not play in these Music City Bowls or these Gator Bowls or Outback Bowls, Citrus Bowls, Rose Bowls, stuff like that. You'll still see it. It's not going anywhere. So, I don't know. That's just kind of, and again, I'm trying to stress it, there's no right or wrong answer. If you think of it completely different than I do, that's fine. But this is how I view it. And I'm really proud of the way that I've grown and kind of evolved in my thinking, because at the time I was like, bad teammate, bad person, screw them, you know, and then I've gone from that to this. And so I'm proud of myself for that. I'm not saying that, again, mine is right and yours is wrong if you think differently, but, you know, usually I'm a, you know, this is what I think and this is, you know, I'm never going to change. And I've changed in that aspect. So I don't know. I just kind of want to talk about this because I've seen it all over the place all weekend long. Didn't know if you guys had any different viewpoints on that. If you do, @_Kane or @LockedOnVols, we can always talk about it. All right, that's going to do it here for a Tuesday show. Big thank you to every single one of you guys that tuned in and sent me in questions. We'll do it again next Tuesday on the show tomorrow. We'll catch up with our buddy Josh Ward for a little word Wednesday. We will preview Tennessee's basketball game coming up Wednesday night and get you set throughout the rest of the week. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Make Locked On Bets your second listen, your one-stop shop for all your sports gambling needs. Your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling give Locked On Bets your second listen of the day. Guys, thanks so much. We'll do it again tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody.